Hi, this is Daniel Garber of the Movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. It's the mid-90s when a 12-year-old boy in Thornhill, Ontario, grabs the headlines for his advocacy of exploited and enslaved kids around the world with three simple words, free the children. Craig Kielburger, along with his brother Mark, started an international charity which grew exponentially. Eventually, as the WE organization, it became one of Canada's biggest and most famous charities, educating young people in developing countries around the world, as well as forming a wildly popular self-empowerment youth movement in schools across North America. But by the summer of 2020, in the midst of the pandemic, it started to collapse. The WE charity name became tarnished with accusations of conflict of interest with the government when they were awarded a $900 million student grant contract, eventually leading to the resignation of Minister of Finance Bill Morneau and the eventual shutdown of the WE charity in Canada. What happened? Well, a new six-part investigative documentary called The White Saviors takes a look at the Kielburgers and the WE charity delving into the dark underbelly of this Canadian icon. And what they find isn't always nice. The White Saviors is a fascinating and at times shocking documentary filled with both new interviews and anonymous insiders, along with public recordings of the main players themselves. The White Saviors is now available as a podcast on Canada Land, the platform known for its rabble-rousers, whistleblowers, mudslingers, and all-around disturbers. Canada Land was founded by publisher and editor-in-chief Jesse Brown, who you probably heard right here on CIUT on Tuesdays from 9 to 10 a.m. They produce excellent podcasts from the Commons, the Backbench, and the eponymous Canada Land itself. And I'm very pleased to have right here via Zoom Jesse Brown to tell us more about the White Saviors. Hi, Jesse.
Hi, Daniel. How you doing?
Thanks. I'm doing great. Thanks so much for joining me. So, Canada Land's been publishing articles on the topic since at least 2019, if not earlier. What first drew you and the team of journalists who investigated it to the WE charity and the Kielburgers?
Pure chance. We stumbled onto the story actually in 2015. Canada Land began, as some listeners may know, with a really, really laser focus on the media. And I got a tip one day that CBC had pulled a documentary from broadcast. They were about to broadcast a documentary, and at the last minute, they decided not to. And there was something going on. And I dug into that. And what I found out was that somebody had complained about this documentary. It was a documentary called Volunteers Unleashed that was a critical look at the volunteerism business, this business of sending teenagers to so-called third world countries or developing countries where they would have part vacation, part helping orphans or building a school. And, you know, it actually became a big business. And what happened was when the CBC was promoting this, it came to the attention of the WE organization that there was critical coverage in this documentary of Me to WE, which is their tourism agency and its practices. And they were able to not only get it pulled from broadcast, but they got it edited. When it finally did broadcast, they cut out all the parts that were critical of Me to WE or the Kielburgers or the WE organization. And they even replaced a line of narration that incorrectly said that one of the people speaking is critical of the volunteerism industry, but not critical of Me to WE. You know, they protested too much. They said they excluded what, you know, and I called up we spoke to the young woman who was critical, and she told us, no, I absolutely criticized Me to WE. I was involved with them and I have critical comments to make about them. That's not true. So I wondered, what is this organization? I knew next to nothing about the Kielburgers at the time, but I knew a little bit about the CBC, and I couldn't think of any other organization that had that kind of influence on the CBC's journalism. So that's how we got into the story. And after we published that story, we started getting tips from former Wii employees who said, "I'm so glad somebody is finally talking about these guys. Boy, do I have a story to tell you." And over the years, bit by bit, we started to accumulate these accounts of what happens within that organization and how it acts externally as well. And that's how this all began way back when.
Okay, so there were a lot of disgruntled former participants, but there were also countless people who loved it. Right? There were people who went through the program and they loved the rallies and things like that. And some say people like Craig Kielburger paved the way for like present day heroes like Greta Thunberg and Malala Yousafzai, like young people who start a big movement, attracting other young people. I don't know. So don't you feel bad? You're messing that all up for him.
I guess I feel like the inspiration that young people like young Craig or Malala or Greta inspiring people is valuable. And the cause that Craig Kielburger championed when he was 12, let's rid the world of child slavery, is uncomplicated. That is a just cause. Just as Greta Thunberg or Malala have wonderful causes that I agree wholeheartedly with, and their ability to inspire people is valuable. What if something goes wrong? What if something happens in the next 10 years and Greta Thunberg ends up working with Shell Oil?
Oh my God.
That's the story that was revealed to us when we started to really look into this kid was celebrated, and I don't know any other Canadian who had an experience like this. He was vaulted onto the world stage at the age of 12, met with the Pope, met with the Queen, met with world leaders, the Clintons. It was a world, the Dalai Lama, Mother Teresa. He was basically everybody who is associated with benevolence and virtue co-signed him as a kid, and he was just made golden. And what fascinates me is what happened next, because that's a simple story up till then. And it would be wonderful if what happened next was that he rid the world of child labor. But in fact, what happened next is he built an organization with his brother that ended up working with companies that use child labor on an industrial scale. So Unilever and Hershey and other companies are some of the world's biggest exploiters of child labor and child slavery. And Craig Kielburger and the Wii organization became partners with those organizations.
Okay.
So that's fascinating.
Let me just talk about the Hershey thing, though, because to me that seemed a little bit remote. In the article, they talk in the original article in 2019, they talk about how Walgreens had a fundraising campaign for Me to Wii, I think, and in the display there was a Cadbury or a Reese's peanut butter cup. Reese's peanut cup is made by Hershey. Hershey gets its cocoa from West Africa. West Africa, in the cocoa industry, there is child slavery, child labor. But they weren't like directly tying up with the Wii charity, right?
Wrong. They
Wrong?
Were directly tied
okay.
up.
Wrong. Okay.
They were. They yeah. They're listed as a partner. They were listed. They're currently. None of this is denied. They are currently partners with the Wii organization. Hershey is. You can go check out their campaigns together. And at the time, the campaign was more involved than as described. They had a partnership that yes, Walgreens was facilitating it, but it went into Hershey and Unilever, by the way, which uses palm oil, which is manufactured with child labor as well, has and had a direct partnership with the Wii organization. And in fact, the Wii organization owns this. Their response to our reporting was to say, yes, we work with companies that are dedicated to ending child labor. So they kind of did a bit of a laundering act for Unilever and others and Hershey by saying, these are not companies that use child labor. These are the companies we're helping them the world is a complicated place, and a lot of companies have in their supply chains other companies, and we're going to help these industrial leaders because they have the right values. We're going to help them eradicate child labor. We'd rather work with them than against them. That was how they spun it. And Hershey committed to getting, they admitted that they had child labor in their supply chain, but they said they'd get rid of it by 2020 with the help of the Wee organization. Well, 2020 came and went, and they're still using it.
They, more than that, they seem to have a lot of corporate ties. One of them is Dow Chemical, which is like, you know, Dow Chemical. That's like napalm. They bought Union Carbide. Do you remember Bhopal? They're like the most horrible chemical company in the world. And they're partners with this wonderful, this Wee, which has such a squeaky clean image.
This is the story that we tell. It's more than a story about one individual's straying from his original ideals or even one organization, because the real story here is a story of how corporations have turned virtue and philanthropy into a marketing vehicle, into a product, and how some of the actors who are responsible for extraction and negative impacts on the global South and on countries abroad have repositioned themselves with the help of charities as the world's good guys. We're actually the ones who are helping to get rid of child labor. That is really concerning. And, I think it really changes the way that we think about philanthropy and charity itself.
And this is not just with the Wee charity. It's across the board with many not-for-profits, right?
I think that that's true. This is a widespread problem. And the reason why the Wee organization, I think, is an excellent example to tell that story through is because they embraced overtly the profit motive more than any other charity that I'm aware of. They said explicitly, we feel like profits and purpose go hand in hand. We believe in social enterprise. We believe that these things should be married together. But I got to tell you, my impression as a reporter covering this is that when you mix the chocolate with the peanut butter, when you mix charity with commerce, with capitalism, capitalism tends to win. It made corporations, it made charities more capitalistic. It made this charity more capitalistic. It didn't make necessarily the corporation more charitable.
Okay, we're running out of time, but first, what do you think Candleland's reporting, what do you think that you planted the seed that led to the downfall of the Wee charity? Or is it a more complex thing? No, I mean, personally, what do you think?
I think the Kielbergers planted the seeds. I think you can see the seeds right from the beginning into what ultimately brought their operation. And it's still there. This operation still exists, but I think it's being exposed.
But the exposure of it is what started this snowball effect, do you think? Or
I think that we dared to look at an organization that was not only ignored by other media organizations, protected from scrutiny, but was actually partnered with them. The Globe and Mail was a partner of the Wee organization. Post Media was a partner. CTV, CBC, there were partnerships up and down. So people were either they had a conflict of interest or they were afraid to scrutinize them. So I absolutely will take credit for making it okay to ask tough questions of the nicest, most golden, good guy company organization in Canada. And then I'll take direct credit because when the Wee organization misled all Canadians and said, we never paid the Trudeau family anything, when they just blatantly provided false information, they had not paid the Trudeau family for these appearances, we were the news organization that got receipts, proof that that was not true, and we broke that story and the truth followed.
Okay, let's just do the opposite way. What do you think Wee charity has done or threatened to do to you and Canada Land?
They've threatened to sue us through 7 different lawyers and multiple libel notices. They've hired private investigators to spy on me, my reporter, my children. My children. We got our hands on an internal private investigator report that has the name of my then 8-year-old kid on it and the name of the school that my kids go to. That was important information for them and their private eyes to accumulate for some reason.
Yikes.
There were Twitter campaigns against us. There was an attack on our website. One of our reporters was approached by an individual offering him money if he would kill the story. It goes on and on. They contracted a Republican Dirty Tricks combat PR firm to work against us and plant stories in the press, smearing Canada Land as fake news. The efforts taken to suppress our reporting, I can't think of any other circumstance where a news organization has been targeted like this.
Well, very fascinating story. I recommend people listen to it. Thanks so much for talking with me, Jesse.
Thanks for your interest.
You can listen to The White Saviors on Candleland and I believe all major podcast platforms. This is Daniel Garber the Movies each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.